Who needs a computer when you've got a desk like this? All your work's laid out in front of you and you can do 10 things at once. What you really need is a computer that understands this. Macintosh from Apple. The screen works just like your desk, only faster. With Macintosh, you simply point to what you want. Point it at a file symbol, out pops the information. Shuffle through memos. In fact, the new Apple Macintosh could replace your desk entirely. Except, what would that leave you to put your feet up on?
Hello, and welcome to the Goldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he'll grab your beer, and then he'll grab your bollocks. Leander Caney is here.
True story. I think I say wallet. That was more likely.
Probably that, too, if you're not careful. Also joining us, GQ Magazine voted him Sexiest Winker 2016. Buster Caney.
Winker?
Yeah, not a wanker. Oh. We got a lot of British listeners. He's not Sexiest Wanker. If you've ever seen Buster wink at you, it's heart melting.
Oh, I don't throw him out that often, so I haven't even seen it.
You don't throw out the winks that often?
No.
That's probably appropriate. You got to be careful with those. Dish them out.
Too powerful.
Sparingly.
Right.
They're too powerful. That's right. You got to be sparing with those. Well, how much can things change in 1 week? We have got so much shizzle to talk about, as Snoop Dogg would say. We're going to be decoding Apple's blurry iPhone 7 imitation. I think this is probably one of the easier invitations to kind of really get some meat off of, don't you think, Buster?
Oh, dude, so many clues.
Your expert's analysis that you put together on Cultimac, yes. I think really, it makes for no secrets on the day of the event.
Thanks,
I mean,
man.
You just kind of laid it all out.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be talking about that. And we are also going to be talking about this crazy, wacky Apple tax situation in the EU. Many of you have probably heard about it. Apple just got hit with about a $14 billion bill for back taxes that the EU Commission says they owe to Ireland, who doesn't want the money. This is like a weird love triangle, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah, definitely.
Totally bizarre. Yeah. And Leander has promised to go on a huge tirade for at least 20 minutes about this.
Oh, 20 minutes?
Yeah, at least.
Right. That's just going to get the beginning. I have got an epic incendiary rant about this white hot fury.
I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate just to make things interesting.
Okay.
And we'll, of course, talk about all of our expectations from the Apple iPhone 7 event coming up this next week. Before we do that, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace has been a sponsor of ours for a long time. I love telling people about Squarespace because I am a paying customer and their service is incredible. If you need a beautiful, responsive website that will scale to any device that visits, you need to check out squarespace.com. You can have a gorgeous website up and running in minutes, and it won't look like you didn't code the entire website by hand, because you can use Squarespace's drag and drop template system to add your social media, your image galleries, you know, anything, virtually anything, videos, all into this really beautiful, cohesive site. You can make a full-on blog. You can make a simple one-page website with a large photo or a large video as the background. They have a ton of functionality in, and the best part is you don't need to know how to code at all. Everything is so simple to assemble. Anyone can do it. You won't have to pay a developer to build or maintain your site. And the maintenance is key, because if you want to add new content, you'll be able to do that all yourself. And I know from experience, because I've been using Squarespace for years, and it's just quite simply, I haven't seen anything else like it. It's unique, it's easy to use, and it's gorgeous. You can get started at squarespace.com. You can get started with a 2-week free trial. They don't even need your credit card information or anything. Get started, and in mere moments, you'll be building your website. And if you like what you see, at the end of your trial, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. Get 10% off any order, and if you order a year of service, you get a free domain name. It's squarespace.com, squarespace.com. Mm. Boy, we are less than 7 days away from Apple's iPhone 7 events. Everyone listening probably knows The invitations went out on Monday. The event is Wednesday, September 7th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Of course, it will be streamed so we can all watch it in Mandarin and in English. And probably in Mandarin only. Mm. This is going to be interesting. We've talked about this for months now. It's going to be curious to see what actually gets announced. Do you think it's going to be just iPhones, Buster?
iPhones?
Are you still thinking that?
Apple Watch? Yeah, I don't think you're going to get a MacBook. Yeah.
Damn you.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, no way.
No way. Come on. No, there'd be one more thing.
No way. Would it be at this event, though?
I don't know.
Because it doesn't really fit with all that stuff, you know?
Because Tim Cook's a busy man and he doesn't have time for an October event.
Mm. No, this is more for like mobile products is how I always see this event, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, you got iPads or no iPads this year, but MacBooks later this year, which are more like Power Pro products.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you got to
wait. What about iPads? We haven't talked about iPads in a while.
There won't be any iPads, I don't think.
You think it's just going to be iOS 10 and iPhones?
Yeah, totally.
Just iPhone 7, iPhone 7 Plus, and iOS 10.
Yeah, there was a thing, a rumor that, or a report, that they weren't going to release new iPads till next year, which makes sense because they came out with the iPad Pro, the 9.7-inch, which is better than the 12-inch. So they could release the 12-inch, but I think it would be kind of weird for them to keep doing it, like update the 12-inch 6 months, you know, and then the iPad, the smaller one, every 6 months after mm-hmm. that. So I feel like they'll probably just hold that until the new iPad is ready.
Okay, so let me take the temperature here. Let's review. Let's summarize all the features we expect on the iPhone 7, 7 Plus. So A10 processor, of course. Dual lens on the 7 Plus. Fewer antenna lines on the back, so it's just cleaner looking. Better LTE, a slightly bigger battery, and then on the iPhone 7, a slightly larger camera, but still just a single lens camera. And potentially waterproofing, maybe even an IP rating so that it can go underwater or something, or not just get drizzled on and still work. If we got all that stuff, Buster, because we've both been kind of lukewarm on the iPhone 7s. If we got all that stuff, are you in for a new iPhone?
Yeah, I mean, I was already planning. Yeah, I'm planning on buying the 7 Plus.
He's in!
Oh,
he's in! It's funny. There are probably people who are just totally pissed right now because, like, we've been crapping. We haven't been crapping on this phone, but we've been lackluster in our excitements because this is not a huge upgrade. And now I kind of feel like I'm starting to get pretty gosh darn excited.
Well, the only thing I'm upgrading for is the camera. I mean, the iPhone's my main camera. I like taking pictures on hikes and stuff like that. So for me, like, that's worth it to like buy a new camera every year. And and you sell your old phone and it almost pays for itself and it's like a $200 upgrade. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of a no-brainer, I think.
Well, are you going to do any, there's a lot of different financing options now, right? And everything's changed because all of the carriers have dropped their subsidies for the phones.
Yeah.
Or, they have or they haven't. You know, you don't get a free phone anymore, a subsidized phone. Bastard. So you got to choose, buy it outright. Apple has a subscription plan. It also has a get a new phone every year plan.
Uh-huh.
And that one's looking pretty good, right? I was thinking about that one because I get a new phone every year. Because you have to trade the old one in.
Well, that's fine, but they better be okay with my busted ass phone, because if you guys can see my phone right
What is this, sir? This is my iPhone. This doesn't look like an iPhone. It's in multiple pieces. It looks like it's been attacked by a raccoon. He's like, well, actually, that part is true.
What happened, man?
It look like, Buster?
Dude, it's beat up. I've been holding on to it for a couple months because I know if I just go replace the screen, it'll just get broken again. So, I mean, the body's bent. Like, there's a big ding in the back, like a big indent in the back. The screen's shattered. There's pieces missing. It's pretty bad. Which, like, if they made a waterproof phone, that would be awesome. But if they made a shatterproof phone, that would be even better.
Yeah, you need a rugged phone.
Yeah,
it's like a military grade. And that's like your third phone this year.
It's not like I don't use a case either. I drop it really good.
Leander, you're definitely in for one, huh? You're getting one regardless.
Always. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Right. You know, but I have a hand-me-down thing, you know, because we hand it down to the kids, the old one. So,
right.
Yeah, I can't trade it in. But I was trying to figure out what the best one to do. I also tried to switch carriers, and you know, I got a long story about that whole thing. I ended up getting a much better deal from. I stuck with AT&T in the end. Mm-hmm. After shopping around. And then I was on the phone trying to cancel, and they were like, well, you know, we don't want to lose you. Let's put you over to our specialist. And
really? Loss prevention, huh?
Right, exactly. So we ended up getting, and I don't think they did anything special for us. Their new no overages plans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Cheaper and a lot better and much more competitive with the others, too.
Even though you're paying more per device for accessing your data, it still came out to be cheaper for you?
What do you mean more per device?
Well, they were charging $10 per device per iPhone to access the plan, and now they're charging $20. Did they add all that up for you?
I can't remember. Yeah, they did. And you know, honestly, it's gone in one ear and out the other. But it ended up being sort of almost half the price of what we're currently playing.
The frick plan were you on? Jeez.
And T-Mobile's even cheaper. I went over to T-Mobile and priced that one out. And theirs was like, you know, $180 for six phones. And six gigs of data each. And no overages there. And they also like do a bunch of that, you know, streaming for video and music, which doesn't go against your data plan. They were looking pretty good, actually, T-Mobile.
Oh, yeah, I've been thinking plans, about it, yeah.
Their plans keep looking better and better, but I'm not a big fan of their new unlimited streaming of SD video plan. You got to pay them $25. I know they just updated it because everyone was so outraged. And it's like, oh, you want to watch HD videos? Well, that's
sometimes when you think of it, though, maybe that's a good idea to only have streaming HD videos because, you know, streaming or SD
streaming
videos.
SD?
Yeah, because the HD videos, you know, it takes a little bit longer, so it's going to be faster. But,
right.
You know, your phone is like, it's like almost 4K now. So I want the best.
Yeah, me too. I want the absolute best.
Are you joking? Through your busted screen?
You need the best, Leander.
1995 QuickTime, and you wouldn't notice the difference.
What about this? We haven't talked about storage in a while, and I read a rumor that Apple may do away with the lower tiers of storage and go with 64...
32.
128. Was it 32?
32.
128. 256.
Which is a crazy jump, right? Like,
it's a huge
32
jump.
To 128 is crazy. That's 100 extra gigs.
Costs Apple
almost.
Nothing, though. Yeah, like, the cost to Apple is negligible.
Well, it's like it should start at 64 gigabytes then, right? Like, now I'm going to be start getting pissy about only 32 gigabyte space. Like, that's so weak, you know?
Yeah, that's true, especially considering 4K video. I 32 is definitely not enough. 64, I don't think, is enough. I think you're really the sweet spot is 128. And then if you really want to be living like a sultan, you could do 56. And then you can like just be taking 4K of your tigers and all your cool outfits and stuff. That's the way to do it. Well, I think I'm definitely in for the plus. And let's talk about the plus, because the invitation showed all those slightly out of focus lights. And that is a classic way to display... What's the term is called bokeh. So in the DSLR world, when you have something that is in focus in the foreground, if you have a large aperture, the background gets blurred out like that. And so to me, this indicates that Apple is really going to allow you to have a crazy depth of field on the new iPhone, which previous versions haven't had, because when you have a smaller sensor, the depth of field increases. So it's hard to get something to be in focus in the foreground and then out of focus in the background because the sensor is so small.
Yeah.
So iPhones just haven't been able to do it. Well, if they're able to pull that off now due to the double lens system, they in a way are going to be able to compete with DSLRs, at least as far as focus is concerned. And that is going to give you a whole new... world of possibilities when taking photos. That could be super cool.
Yeah, I think for the average person, it's going to be like awesome, and it's going to make all of your mom's shitty Instagram pictures so much better and stuff.
Let me stop you. What? My mom's Instagram pictures are amazing.
Mine are horrible. Unless she rips them off from somebody else. And, oh.
That's like half people in my Instagram feed just take stuff off Reddit and post it like they created it.
I think if we're being honest, though, the iPhone's probably not going to kill DSLRs for a long time.
Hell
mostly because,
no!
You know, you don't have the type of sensor. You can't do astrophotography with the iPhone. You can't take night shots with it. You know, you can't take a lot of advanced type of lighting settings that you want to do with the iPhone. So I think for everyday users, yeah, it's going to be a huge upgrade, but I don't think it's going to be something that you're like, oh, I can, yeah, toss away my Mark IV or whatever.
Heck no. Dude. I've seen people making those comparisons online, and I think even John Gruber said Apple was going after the DSLR market with their new phones, and
that
that's all
marketing.
No. There's way more to it than just focus, and there's physics to it. There's only a certain amount of light that a small sensor can capture as opposed to a large sensor. So there's just no way it's going to compete with DSLR. It may mimic certain features of a DSLR,
right?
Like the focused, you know, in focus foreground, out of focus background. But yeah, there's no way this is replacing your DSLR, unless you have a super crappy DSLR.
No, I don't know.
It's from like 2004, in which case you might be psyched.
Even an entry-level DSLR for $300 is going to dominate the iPhone, you know?
Yeah, if you got like a Canon TI-5, which is not even the newest model, I don't think. Yeah, for $300, even that's going to destroy, I think.
And what it is going to mean, though, is we're going to have much better pictures on the iPhone, right?
And
which
that's great.
And they're already pretty good.
Yeah. I was looking through some of my old iPhone pictures from like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was because I was really into filters or what, but just the pictures just look so crappy. And it's just amazing how far it's gone, you know, and how it's so easy to take a good picture now with your iPhone. So that's
right.
I think it's super exciting. And that's why I'll buy one, is because anytime the camera gets better, like that's worth it to me because that's what I use it for, like more than anything, like Instagram, Snapchat, you know, messaging with your friends and stuff.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's a connected phone, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
it's like whereas a DSLR isn't. So.
Right. Those are more like shots that you take your time with. Yeah. That you're not like rushing to post up or anything like that.
I may have to get a fanny pack though, because since my last iPhone 7 Plus or my last iPhone Plus size phone, this is a 6 Plus, my jeans have only gotten tighter.
Yeah.
And there's some serious pokage happening when you try to fit a 6 Plus into your pocket with skinny jeans. And I'm not looking forward to going back to that lifestyle. I think the iPhone 7 or the iPhone 6, just the normal size phone, is like the perfect size phone for me.
Yeah, I think the SE is really, like, if I had the best sized phone, it would really be the SE. If you could get the best camera in that form factor, I think that's still the hot spot. But if you want to have the best features, you have to have the biggest phone. So you got to go big.
Well, that sucks, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean,
it does.
There's people that are complaining about that. And I think that's, I feel the same way. It sucks that Apple won't just make a similar size device, or I'm sorry, put the same features in both devices and just make one big and one small.
Yeah.
Because there's people that want the dual lens system, I'm sure, but they don't want the larger phone. I guess I'm one of those people. I don't want a larger phone.
Yeah, if I could go without it, I would go without the larger phone, and I would go with the SE size, but
SE is a little too small for me.
Really? For your dainty man hands?
I forgot
you're not Alex Heath, right? Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're confusing me with Alex Heath, who has hands that are like a delicate porcelain doll. My hands are more like Sasquatch or Mike Tyson or Arsenio Hall, actually, I think would probably be the best example. Like my pointer fingers.
Arsenio Hall? What, is he famously big hands?
Don't you remember how big his hands were?
I don't.
No.
I swear, he would always point and be like, whoa, whoa. I'm trying to do the Arsenio Hall. Woof. That was my version. And he would point to the audience. He'd be like, oh, yeah. You don't remember how long his index finger was? It was like 10 inches long.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, you got to look it up online. Because I'm not joking. It's at least 10 inches long. He had huge fingers. I don't know if his palms were big. But yeah, so that's me. Arsenio Hall needs a plus. I mean, I could probably handle a plus, just my pant pockets can't.
Oh, yeah, he boasts about it. I'm looking at his Twitter feed. He's boasting about it. His hands are bigger than basketball players.
There you go. Yeah, he's amazing, man. So I'm getting genuinely excited now. I'm super looking forward to the event, getting pumped.
Mm-hmm.
After all this time of saying I probably wasn't going to be, well, we all knew that wasn't actually going to happen. And now here we are.
And I'm what do you think the mood of the Apple audience is? You know, all the users. Is it? Kind of sort of excited, not like really excited.
You know, I just had a friend that bought an iPhone SE because he didn't really care about the iPhone 7. And that was like a couple days ago. And he, you know, keeps track on all that. And he's just like, I'll just go with the SE. So
that's
I don't know.
That's a weird move. To at least not at least wait to see what Apple's going to do, because we think that we know most of the information, but Apple could surprise us. And there could be something that we didn't expect.
When was the last time they surprised us? That's another thing that's hard to remember. Maybe the 3GS. Was the last time.
3GS is the last time they excited us.
Yeah.
Or surprised us.
Well, every year, we complain, the reviewers complain, the review's always the same, you know, same old, and it's an incremental upgrade, it's not revolutionary. The people are upset that the form factor is, you know, very similar or the same as it was the year before. But that's exactly how Apple rolls. Look at the iMac form factor, you know, I mean, it's gotten slimmer and thinner and sleeker and faster, but it's essentially remained the same machine for like it's more than a decade now, isn't it?
Right.
And it's like when you hit on a winning design, Apple tends to stick with it because it works. And there's a lot to be said for that, I think. And yet every year, you know, it sells as many as the previous generations put together, right? Isn't that what they were doing?
Wow, really?
That's used to be that. Okay. I think up until maybe the 5. It was growing in such huge. Of course, it stalled, you know, because they had that famous quarter where the iPhone sales were actually less than they were the year before. But, you know, up until the 4 or the 5, it was selling as many phones as they had sold all the previous generations put together. But it's still selling in ginormous numbers, you know, isn't it? I mean, they're going to sell 100 million or more.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how many they actually sell for this version of the phone, because I think that Apple is expecting to sell less because this is not such a dramatic upgrade. So a lot of people aren't planning on upgrading if they already have like a 6S or something. I mean, if you have a 6, I think that you're going to upgrade no matter what.
I don't think so. I think if you have like a 5S, yeah. But I think if you have a 6, you're just like, oh, it's just like my current phone. So
yeah, it looks the same. That's true.
And if I had a 6... I would definitely like, and I'm not like super insane about upgrading every year. I would definitely hold out for the iPhone 10 next year, whatever it's going to be called. It sounds pretty awesome.
The mega upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's true. If you're not on a contract, I think in my mind, I still think everyone's on a 2-year upgrade cycle because everyone used to be on contracts. And now that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
So maybe you're willing to wait longer. I mean, you've paid off your phone, and if the new phone coming out looks exactly like the one that you already have, then yeah, I can definitely see people waiting and saying, oh, this looks just like what I already have. I guess I'll just wait until they come out with something really new.
Yeah, which so, maybe that, and you know, we're kind of like so pissed off at Apple for not redesigning the phone, and maybe you kind of think like maybe that is related, like why they were trying to come out with a fresh new look every 2 years, because that's when your contract came out and it kind of incentivized people to upgrade more. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Did you guys see the video from Apple leaker Sonny Dickson?
You know I did.
I know you did see that. So for those of you that didn't, we linked it in the show notes. This guy seems to have gotten his hands on a fully functional iPhone 7 Plus, and the thing that makes me think these are actually legit is they look like they're running iOS 10. And people have said to me, oh, well, that could be Android. I don't know. Take a look at the video for yourself. It doesn't look like just a great skinned version of Android to me. I suppose it could be. There's always that possibility. But it looks like these are legit. And if they are, it's like,
I don't know.
Dual lens confirmed.
I think Sonny Dickson.
There are no surprises.
Yeah.
What?
I think he loves himself too much to uploaded a picture with some Android phones. Like, he's a guy that likes to show off his scoops. So it's just like
he likes to show off his scoops.
Yeah.
He's got nice scoops.
And he's like, oh, that's yes, great. Just look at these three
look
rose
these
gold iPhone
scoops.
7 Pluses
I've got
I have.
Three here.
Whatever. And that's
I
his
don't
style.
Even care.
Yeah.
Look at my rose gold iPhone 7 Pluses. I don't even care if I have them. No, I'm talking to Leanne Dieters.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well,
so yeah, right. He's from Australia. So.
I don't even care what Aussies. How did these get here? Where's my beer? I don't even care if I have these. He's touching the phones in the video, and he's playing around with the OS, and it's responding like iOS 10 does. Uh-huh. So they look real. And if these are real, that does mean that we're not getting a smart connector. That's one of the rumors or one of the features that we had talked about that was rumored for these new versions of the iPhones, because they're not going to have headphone jacks, as you all probably know, and you'll have to listen to music via the Lightning port. And actually, there was a new rumor that came out this week that said the iPhone 7 is going to come not just with a Lightning a version of the EarPods, but also a Lightning adapter. Mm. So Apple is going to give people the option of using their Lightning EarPods that they're going to include, or the adapter as well, so that you can use whatever earphones you have, you know, that you like. Which I think this actually is going to end up happening. What do you think, Buster?
The what? The Lightning?
The adapter with the EarPods.
Oh, that are, yeah, I AirPods. Hope so. That would be really nice of Apple to do that.
It just makes way too much sense for them not to do it, because a lot of people have earphones they love, and they're not going to want to necessarily buy a new adapter just to use those on the iPhone.
Yeah. Okay, here's another thing that's a problem, too, is because I use my... you can't use your headphones on your Mac then, too, like if they're Lightning adapter, right?
Oh.
You got to have it going the Lightning to 3.5 adapter. I just realized
okay,
this.
So now I'm thinking Apple is just going to give you a pair of EarPods, and they're going to give you a Lightning adapter.
Yeah.
Because that makes way more sense, because that's a really great point. I use my EarPods for everything.
Yeah.
I edit the show on my EarPods. Whenever I listen to music, oftentimes I use my EarPods on my Mac.
Yeah, I used to. Like everything. Yeah, everything is wired. But so I did get some, what are they? The Beats Wireless Pro or the Wireless Beats something twos. They came with like iPad Pro, and they're actually like, it's super awesome to have Bluetooth headphones. I'm like digging them so much. So
when it's great to be liberated, isn't
it? Oh yeah. When the 7 comes out, man, like I'm not even going to cry about that headphone jack.
Right. Exactly. Everyone's going to be over all the bleating and complaining and gnashing and renting of hair and garments. It's like,
oh, they'll be over it in 2 weeks, you know?
Right. It'll be forgotten.
Do those Beats sound good, Buster?
They stay on my ears well, which is the number one thing.
Okay, yeah,
because I've used a few other wireless Bluetooth headphones, and they don't stay in very well at all. Like I've used the Jaybird models; these ones stay in well. They sound fine. I'm not an audio, freak or anything, but they sound solid to me, and they last for a while, and they're super easy to use. So yeah, I actually dig them.
I can't overstate how convenient it is, or the convenience factor of having Bluetooth headphones. It's
so nice.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. Having Bluetooth headphones and not having a wire that's connected to your phone or connected to your computer or something, that it's like going commando. it's just a deep sense of satisfaction and freedom that you get from not having a wire, even though most of the Bluetooth headphones I've listened to so far kind of sound like crap.
Oh yeah.
I haven't heard a single pair that sounds good yet.
That's what Waz said too.
Waz is right, man. You can't argue with Waz.
You can't.
I got a pair
Waz.
Of Parrot Zeke.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're old now, actually. They've been out for years. They are fantastic. They're really, really good headphones. And Lewis has got golden ears. Test them against a pair of super expensive Bowers and Wilkins, which are his sort of gold standard headphones. These are wired headphones, and he says they're beautiful headphones, the Bowers and Wilkins. And he thought the Parrot Zeeks were almost as good as they were.
Huh. You're kidding.
Nope, they're good. They're great.
How
they're
much
really,
were they?
Really great. Well, they were kind of expensive. They were like $400, I think.
Damn.
But they're a few years old now. I'm just doing a quick search here. So yeah, now they're $200.
Okay.
And they're really, really great.
Interesting, because I'm reviewing a pair of, I think they're called BioPlay H4s. And I've talked about these on a past episode because I was reviewing them. And they sound good, but they don't sound like $400 headphones. I have a pair of Sennheiser HD600s, which if you buy a full price or $400, you can usually find them on sale for like $350 or $300.
But
and they sound way better. I mean, night and day better
But that's the thing.
BO Play H4s.
But that's the BHO, like that's kind of like their brand though. So that's the thing about headphones now, is it's not necessarily you're not paying $300 for the sound. You're also paying for it as a fashion item. So
yeah,
like,
that's true, especially with the Beats.
So if you are obsessed with the sound of stuff, like, you know, you're definitely going to care about that more. But a lot of people, like, they just want it for like brand recognition.
They just want to look cool.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, most people.
That's generally what I care about most.
But
I don't care if they sound like absolute shite, as long as I looked like a straight baller / shot caller when I'm riding down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's what I care about, and I'm willing to pay top dollar for that.
What was that? The big ones at the Olympics?
Oh,
they were probably Bose.
Well, they had. Well, I just saw that they told Michael Phelps to tape over his Beats.
Did he?
Yeah. He had.
Oh,
yeah.
He did.
Because I think it was Bose is the sponsor or something.
Okay. Anything else that we should mention about the iPhone 7 event? Oh,
Apple
you'll
Watch
be
2?
live blogging it, right, Buster?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Booyah!
Yeah, I will.
Booyah! So Wednesday the 7th at 10 a.m. at Cult Le Mac, you can go hang out with Buster, and we can all celebrate new Apple hardware and possibly new MacBook Pros. All right, before we move on to talk about Apple's tax situation, let's go ahead and say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper's American-made mattresses have just the right amount of foam and latex, and people everywhere love them. I mean that. Check out the reviews on casper.com/cultcast or check them out on Amazon. Check them out anywhere Caspers are available for sale. People love Casper mattresses. And that's because an in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. It combines springy latex foam and supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that's got just the right amount of sink and bounce. Plus, it's breathable, so you won't get all hot and sweaty. Helps you regulate your temperature through the night. And even though high-end mattresses can cost well over $1,500, which is the truth. Have you ever shopped for a mattress before? Casper mattresses cost $500 for a twin-size mattress, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, or $950. Just $950 for a king. The best part is convenience. Casper will send you a mattress that you can try absolutely risk-free. They will deliver it to you and let you sleep on it for 100 nights. You can just prop your mattress that's on your bed up against the wall, set your Casper down, and you can sleep on it, and you can do all the weird stuff on it that you do in your bed that most people probably don't know about. You can practice your nude yoga, your tantra. You can make sweet love on the bed. Do all that stuff, because when you shop for a bed at a store, you can't do any of that stuff. You have like 20 minutes, and you get to lay in the bed in your clothes and bounce on it a couple of times, then make your decision. And Casper, you actually get the full experience. You can decide if it's for you. A lot of people decide that it is, but if you think that you would like to return it and get something else, Casper will pick up the bed for free and return 100% of your money. That's casper.com/cultcast. Use the code cultcast at checkout. You will save, or you will get $50 towards the purchase of any mattress. Casper.com/cultcast. Find out why Time Magazine named Casper one of the best inventions of 2015. Made in America, Casper.com/cultcast. Oh yeah. All right, Leander, are you ready? Do you have a glass of water there to kind of wet your palate so you can really just
to cool
like
down
to dig into this?
All right. Well, I've decided now that I actually don't want to go on too long about this, because I think it's, you know, completely outrageous that Apple is avoiding its taxes and using every legal but completely and utterly underhand trick in the books. And of course, they're not alone. I know, like, a lot of companies do this, and it goes back a long, long history. This is why, in fact, Apple located in Ireland in the first place. You know, Tim Cook, in his letter in response to the EU ruling earlier this week, you know, claimed that Steve Jobs wanted to bring jobs, manufacturing jobs, to this impoverished country, which is true. They do have a manufacturing plant there, and they do, you know, make iMacs. And they also have a marketing team and, you know, and obviously a lot of finance experts. But, you know, if you read about it, the more you read about it, the more outrageous it is, especially coming from a company like Apple, right? And Tim Cook, who proclaims to be progressive on a lot of these issues.
Well, he's socially progressive, but I think he's fiscally conservative, especially when it comes to Apple's money.
I think that's very, very true. But this is one of the biggest cash hoards in history.
Yeah.
And it is all being routed through a company called, you know, quote unquote, head office, right? Apple International Operations, AIO, that is a completely and utterly fictitious company. It has no home address. It's not registered. As far as the US tax authorities are concerned, it's registered in Ireland, but the Irish authorities say it's not registered there. It's in fact registered nowhere. It has no address, no headquarters, no employees.
It's like the island Apple, Lost.
Right, and Apple is routing all of its overseas profits through that. $30 billion in the last 3 years. It is astonishing.
Let's back up for a moment and kind of describe what's happening here. So the EU Commission is a branch of the EU that is responsible for making sure that the different countries within the EU play fairly when it comes to taxes, okay?
Right.
And their issue is actually not with Apple. Their issue is with Ireland because per EU law, in order to be a member of the EU, as far as I understand it, this is very complicated. Well, every country can charge whatever they want as far as taxes go for
they set their own tax rate.
They set their own tax rates, but they have to make sure that every company in their country pays the same tax rates. And because Ireland is essentially allowing Apple to pay a smaller tax rate on their revenue, the EU is going to Ireland and saying, you can't let them do that. That's unfair. You have to charge them the taxes that we think they owe. And so they're making Ireland collect money from Apple, even though Ireland is saying, we don't want the money. We're happy with this agreement.
Right.
We think this is crazy. And so I think it's good to frame that this is not between the EU Commission and Apple. It's between the EU Commission and Ireland. And Apple is in the middle of this. So, sorry. They are. I mean, that's true, Leander.
You're right. Absolutely right. As far as the ruling is concerned, that's exactly what the situation is. And I think a lot of Americans don't, you know, sort of, they're not getting outraged about this or you know, I think it's kind of to what happens a lot in the States, whereas, you know, states will often give tax breaks to certain companies to attract them.
Right.
You know, and they're all falling, you know, over backwards to try to offer preferential tax rates to try to get companies to relocate.
Yeah.
You know, Texas is famous for doing this, right? And claims to have attracted a lot of high-tech companies to Texas because of its preferential tax rates. And a lot of companies in America register in Delaware or Nevada because of the low tax rates in those states and actually operate in another state. So, you know, like to Americans, I don't think, you know, they don't have this sort of, I think it's, you know, they don't realize that the EU is trying to make sure that different European countries can't shop around like that and offer sweetheart deals to particular companies. You know, they're trying to enforce a level, like you said, a level playing field for everybody across the whole 28 block.
Which is one of the reasons why Great Britain said, peace out, guys. We want to be in charge of our own national sovereignty. We want to be in charge of our own tax revenue structure. So they were like, we're out of here.
Right.
Now, actually, the Brexit makes a lot more sense to me because this is precisely the type of thing that people in Britain wanted to avoid. They didn't want some unelected. I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm trying to offer a contrary argument.
You're pushing on my buttons.
So let me finish. This is precisely what people don't want. They don't want some unelected group of politicians telling them how to run their country, which is what's happening in Ireland. Ireland made this deal with Apple in 1991. Okay, their economy was not doing well. And Apple made a deal with them to bring jobs and infrastructure, which I'm sure had significant cost to Apple, to the country if they would let Apple have favorable tax rates on revenue that they brought to Ireland. So Ireland agreed to this deal. And then in 1993, 2 years later, they joined the EU. So this deal precedes Ireland being a part of the EU. And it's been all these many years that this deal has been going on. And now all of a sudden, all of a sudden, the EU Commission is coming to them and saying, oh, no, tisk, tisk, you can't do this. We need you to go ahead and collect this money that you've been collecting all this time. It's like, okay, if you're going to make us change and adapt our agreement with Apple to the current structure of the law. Let's just do it from here forward. Why are you making us go back 10 years as a punishment to Apple? So I think that's the counter argument, which I actually think in some regards makes sense. It's like, if you're going to change the law, change it now. Don't do it retroactively.
They haven't changed any laws. They're just saying the laws on the books haven't been followed. They've been dodging it illegally. Ireland illegally made a sweetheart deal with Apple and allowed it to skate on all these shenanigans that it's been pulling. That's not what the EU is arguing. They're not changing any laws. Ireland has set its own laws. They're just saying that they haven't complied with their own laws. I think that's a really good argument. That's true.
I don't know if that's right, though, because as far as I understand, Apple is following the agreement that it made with Ireland, and the EU is coming in and saying, Ireland is not allowed to make this deal with you because they're giving you a favorable tax rate.
Right.
And so you need to charge them a higher tax rate, even though to let them park this money there without taxing it.
Right, a higher tax rate, but a tax rate that is on, you know, that the Irish legislature, that the democratically elected government of Ireland decided on, which is already the lowest and one of the lowest in the world. It's 12.5% for corporate taxes, which is way lower than almost any first world country, and it's down there with, you know, like these Cayman Islands and tax havens, you know, these offshore tax havens, which is in fact what they're doing. But it, you know, look at it from a sort of from a kind of moral point of view. The $30 billion that Apple routed, all of its overseas profits for the last 3 years, that it routed through this completely and utterly stateless corporate subsidiary, they have paid no taxes on it. None. And it's legal, you know, and it's to the letter of the law. I'm sure you could, you know, armies of accountants couldn't poke holes in it because they've set up this extremely elaborate structure of subsidiaries in the Cayman Islands, in Ireland, in Holland, and they license their IP to one company in Ireland that, you know, sends it, that sells it to a company in Holland that sells it back to another Irish subsidiary in order to distribute these products to Apple. So if you go to an Apple store in London and you buy an iPhone, you are not buying it from Apple. You're not buying it from Apple corporate in California, designed in California, made in China. You're buying it from some fictitious, you know, some sort of, you're buying it from a string of subsidiaries that are shuffling money around so they actually pay no taxes. And, you know, like, I don't think you can argue that it's true to the letter of the law. They're not breaking the law. But is that morally right?
Well, see, I think...
I pay my taxes.
Well, this company pays taxes. You don't pay any more than you're legally required to pay. No one's sending the IRS more than they owe.
We get paid by advertising companies in London. We've had partnerships with various overseas companies, and our accountant declares it to the IRS, and we pay it at a 35% tax rate.
Right.
All we're allowed to do is to take certain deductions. You know, we deduct business expenses, salary, office things, you know, office expenses, a car. We do all those things that every other company does. They're all completely legal and all, you know, it's complicated, but it's not a bad tax code. It's not the worst tax code.
The US tax code?
Well, I'm sorry. Okay, I don't want to get into an argument about that. That's a completely thorny area, right? There's a lot of arguments you could have about it. But yeah, you know, we take a lot of illegal deductions too. Yeah, exactly. We try to do our tax minimization. But in general, we are paying taxes at a 35% rate. And Apple is paying none.
Well, they're not paying none.
And in fact, the Senate is even investigating Apple. It's doing this with a bunch of its US tax profits too.
Yeah,
it's also using these things. There's an ongoing Senate investigation, and Apple is using a lot of these tricks to avoid paying U.S. taxes.
Well, again, I think we should clarify, it's not just Apple. It's a lot of companies that are doing this, especially large companies. I think the problem is when you start to use the moral guidance as an argument, the problem is that Apple is a company.
That's the very heart of it. That's exactly the heart of it.
Apple's positioning itself as a moral company, and that's what disturbs me about it, is how Tim Cook says that Apple should be used to do good. And part of taxes are used to do good in the country that they're there for, you know? So
absolutely
those go up
right
to other people. So if you want to do good, pay your fucking taxes, you know? And to say, like,
absolutely,
oh, we're helping them with the jobs, that's not true. The amount of taxes Apple could have owes could pay for Ireland's entire healthcare system for a whole year. So it's
right.
People are losing out at that, and they are hurt by it too. And just to say, oh well, you would do it too, I think it's cheap. And sure, yes, we all want, you know, more for ourselves. But to position Apple as a company that is there for the people and is trying to make the world a better place, but also trying to avoid paying a bill that would do those things, you know, in ways that it can't, I just think it's dishonest, totally.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I might be a little disingenuous, but I mean...
A little?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. Everyone is holding Apple to a standard that is higher than they would hold themselves.
No, not at all.
That's true.
I think they hold themselves to that standard. They themselves say that they hold themselves to the highest standard of any company ever. So we, as a people, should hold them to that standard, too. What do we want a company in this era to look like? You know, and that's the standard right. We need to hold Apple
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
So not, you know, to say, oh, well, everybody else is doing it. That's not the free pass, because everybody else was using child labor. They were using, you know, products from Africa that are used from slavery, all kinds of stuff. And Apple finally decided to say, we're the ones that are going to stand up. And so they need to be a company that stands up on this, too.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, and I think Apple would argue that they are paying what they owe, just like
well, that's what
else
they
is.
Have said, but that's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, we're paying what we owe, so you guys should fix it. Well, no, you need to enact change. Help us enact change. You're the most powerful tech company in the world, if not the most powerful tech company in the world. Like, Apple's trying to act like it's being bullied, but it's like, dude, if any company can take on any government it wants, it's Apple. So, like, help everybody else too. Like, that's kind of my thing.
Absolutely.
Again, just trying to offer the contrary argument here, because quite honestly, I'm not sure how I feel about this. I don't think it's as cut and dry as you guys are presenting it as. Like, you guys make it seem
Apple
like the morally righteous thing to do.
Oh, Apple makes so much goddamn profits, man. They're the most profitable country in history. They can afford the $14 billion like it's
nothing.
That'd
be like someone, who lives on $1 a day in Africa.
Erfan, this will not impact us in any way. $14
billion
is nothing.
That'd be like someone who makes
$1
a day in Africa
this.
Saying,
that's
Buster,
sick.
You make too much money. You need to give me some of it. And you're like, what?
Who? People in Africa? But I'm not making money from people in Africa. Tim Cook is making money from these people. Like, that's what I'm saying, man, is this is a multinational business. The business is flowing through them. And it's flowing through Ireland, and Ireland set it up. And that's cool.
And Ireland is happy with the deal.
They're happy with
the problem.
But the EU is not. And I'm just saying, like, and because what Leander is saying is this also applies to the U.S. And it really frustrates me about Apple holding its assets off and not and bringing that money back and circulating it back into the U.S. economy. And so that disturbs me, too. And I feel like if they start to, you know, have to do stuff in Ireland, maybe, you know, we can get change done over here, too. And that's why I hope.
But see, okay, let's talk about the U.S. thing for a moment. We're probably veering off track here, because I think that you would probably argue they need to bring all their money from overseas back to the
no,
U.S. and be taxed.
No, not all of
it.
Right? But
or a majority of
no,
it.
No, not even a majority of it. Just the ones that can be used here when it makes sense to be used here. But they bring none of it, and they hold it all off seas.
Because from my perspective, Apple pays taxes on the money they make in the U.S. But people think of Apple as an American company, and I think traditionally they have been, but they're a multinational company, so they have presences everywhere.
So the thing is, what happens with these companies is they hold the money overseas, and then they invest it overseas, and so none of it comes back to America.
Right.
Or they just sit on it, which is
yeah,
what Apple's
exactly.
doing. It's not being used for anything. So it's being shuffled around in kind of, you know, shady ways.
And sitting on it is the worst thing for everybody, because the money needs to circulate to all of us. We all need it, you know?
And there's a
it's
big difference
resource.
Between tax minimization and tax avoidance. Mm-hmm. And one is morally wrong, and that is exactly what Apple's up to. It's morally corrupt. It's really, it's like using child labor. It's completely akin to doing that.
I agree. And I think it's one of the things, it's one of the huge corruptions that we face in this era.
In global economy,
yeah,
because
exactly.
This is exactly what
because
the
like
whole Erfan election
saying,
is about.
Everybody does it. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
You're right.
It is a big problem. Because a lot of stuff is fluid in the global economy. I mean, sorry, some stuff is fluid and some stuff isn't. Finance is fluid. Right? They're mm-hmm. allowed to move money all over the world, but labor isn't. This is why they want to close the borders to immigrants. And it's completely unfair. It's like, you know, that there's one rule for the global rich, the global elite. People are buying up huge properties in London. They leave empty. Central London is full of all these empty ghost properties now that are owned by huge, you know, rich Chinese and Russian oligarchs. They don't even use them. They're investment materials.
That's actually happening here in Washington,
and it's happening here, too. It's happening all over, right? It's happening in New York. All those skyscrapers they're building in New York, they're empty. They're investment materials for the global super elite. They're allowed to move their money anywhere they want all around the world with very, very little penalty. And yet, you know, Trump wants to build a giant wall to stop some poor Mexican dirt farmer coming over here and picking a few grapes.
Yeah. And Mexico's going to pay for it.
Yeah, right. Anyway, you know, I think it is the taxation, I think, there's a lot, you know, it's a hugely complex subject. And there are a lot of arguments.
It is very complicated,
yeah. The taxation, there's a lot wrong with taxes, there's a lot wrong with governments. But in general, if my house is on fire, I want some firefighters turning up with hoses. And that is paid for by taxes. Right?
Yeah, that's kind of a straw man, though. I mean,
is it?
Yes, yes, education. It is, because property taxes pay for your fire department, not Apple. And you're saying
taxes,
that because
I'm just saying
Apple
taxes
doesn't
in
pay
general,
more.
Taxes in general.
Taxes in general. But
they should pay their fair share. I paid my fair share as a citizen. I have always paid my taxes, and I think a lot of other hardworking Americans do. This is a totally 99%. You know, this is another one of those, you know, 99 versus the 1%. Thing, you know, most hardworking Americans pay their taxes, and they pay their taxes fairly. They try to minimize them as much as possible. Yeah, sure, that's absolutely. You know, you'd be crazy not to.
And that's exactly what Apple's doing. And that's exactly what Apple's doing too.
No. They're not minimizing. Doing it better. It's not. It's a difference. It's a difference between tax minimization and tax avoidance. They're pulling all of these crazy.
Let me ask you a question.
Avoid it.
Let me ask you a question, Leander. If you found an accountant who was like, he's like the Doogie Howser of accountants, right? He's like he's like 18.
Well,
he's amazing.
There's a problem
like,
with your analogy. You're saying Leander has free access to this Doogie Howser of accountants who's going to magically find him all the loopholes. Most Americans don't have that ability. Most people don't. So they go with
I wouldn't
what
do it,
it
anyway.
Is.
I wouldn't do it because
so
it's crooked.
He came to you and he said, hey, L. Caney, put that L down. Have I got an offer for you? I can get you to legally only have to pay 10% taxes on everything that you earn. It's completely legal. I used to work for the IRS. I know how to route your money. Would you or would you not take that deal?
Well, yeah, because I do that now. My accountant, who's based up in Lake Tahoe, says exactly that kind of stuff. You know,
can you introduce me to him?
You know, you've got to be. He said, you know, like I hadn't been deducting our healthcare costs, right? And he, because our previous accountant missed that, so he's like, oh man, you've got to be putting that on. You know, that's a legal deduction you should be taking. And I was grateful for that. You know, I said, great, thanks very much. You know, it saves a few hundred bucks a year, and you know, reduce my tax bill. So, I think you know, this is what I'm saying. There's a big difference. But then if I had, if he said, you know. Why don't you set up some shell companies in Panama and then fly out to the Cayman Islands and then go to Switzerland and set up a Swiss bank account. And then we'll start paying, you know, we'll set up some fake companies offshore and then we'll start paying those guys. You know, we'll employ all the writers, right? All the bloggers. Everyone here can be employed by, you know, Canish Shady Banana Tree Holdings in the Bahamas, you know.
Do they offer healthcare?
Well, yeah, exactly.
For Caney's Shady Banana Tree Company.
This is what these guys are doing. And no, I would not do that because it's immorally corrupt. It's wrong.
Oh, see, there you go. I mean, it comes down to everyone has different levels of morality and different value systems. So, I mean, it becomes murky. Again, it's like because I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And I also don't think it's fair that Apple pays virtually no taxes on that money. But the question becomes... I think to me, the question becomes, okay, clearly this needs to be resolved. I think Apple knows that this needs to be resolved as well. And what is a fair amount to have them pay? Because when it all is said and done, Apple made a deal before Ireland joined the EU, and that deal has been going on for 25 years now. And now the EU is coming in and saying, oh, no, we this won't do it all. And they're trying to bill them, you know, for 10 years of taxes. And even Ireland...
And it will go back even further, but there's a statute of limitations.
Right, right.
Which
they
I
would
think
probably
is...
go back the full 25 years if they're allowed to. And Ireland, the funny thing to me is that even that Ireland is them... They're
well,
saying
you're
they
saying,
don't want
you're saying no, that's on, the ruling party is saying that. Not everybody.
Right, exactly.
There's
they
like,
were chucking apples at the parliament building.
Right, there's a lot of younger people
who are
pretty
pissed
off
about... The Irish people, I think, would be very glad to see that money.
I would love to actually talk to like an actual Irish person and see what
they think about this whole thing. Oh, no, we don't want apples money, mate. No.
That was pretty solid, actually.
Give me
a pint
of Guinness,
Irish heritage.
Yeah, McGill.
Like hell, they'd want that. Ireland's economy is like really shaky. I mean, because they've got all these companies. They've got this weird fantasy economy where they're doing all these like weird, shady, affiliates and shell companies and all these tax avoidance schemes. And then they have a real economy where they have like, you know, I saw some numbers somewhere saying that Apple's 6,000 employees, if that was like per capita, these are 6,000 well-paying, really good jobs per capita. If you brought a company, and if you brought that to the U.S., it would be, you know, 45,000 employees, and it would be one of the biggest employers in a company like America. Hmm. So in Ireland, you know, like what Apple's really doing in Ireland, it's like it's real operations there, and it does pay taxes on those, and its employees pay taxes. And it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Is a good
and then also Amazon, the infrastructure, and Facebook. Like, all the equipment and everything, and the offices and everything. I mean, Apple is spending a lot of money in Ireland to employ all those people, and that was part of their deal that they made.
Exactly, but they're not talking about. But that pays, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes, and it pays them fairly, and it pays them at the Irish tax rate. But then there's this, you know, huge affiliate. Subsidiary. This sort of fantasy economy. That's routing billions and billions of dollars through the country, and no one's touching it.
Right.
And it's not just them; it's all these other high tech companies, plus a bunch of pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are doing, you know, like wasn't one of the Pfizer? Didn't they just do a reverse? What do they call it? A corporate inversion. Yeah. So they're now based in Ireland, even though it's a complete. You know, this is another awful thing that corporations do. That's morally right. You know, it's legally right, and you know, it's no one can touch them on the law, but it's completely and utterly morally wrong, right? Don't you think the corporate inversion thing?
I don't know a ton about the corporate inversion, but from what I understand, isn't it like when they buy a company in Ireland and then they say that they're actually now based out of Ireland, so they have to pay Ireland's
tax rate?
Right,
a much smaller company. They merged with a much smaller company, and then they inverted the whole thing. So now they're based in Ireland, even though they've got skyscrapers in New York. And, you know, it's...
I hope that this motivates the U.S. to really examine their corporate tax rates, because... when you're looking at a global market, when it comes to taxes, it's just like anything else. It's like products that you could buy. You know, it's an open marketplace, and people can buy a product from China or manufactured in the U.S., and they end up buying from China because it's cheaper. This is the same thing. Ireland has a low tax rate, so companies are flocking there to do business there because the taxes are so low. And I hope that the U.S. examines that and comes up with a more fair corporate tax structure so that the companies will start bringing their money back here. And, you know, having it run through our economy and bringing their headquarters back here. So if anything, this could be a good thing for the U.S. if the U.S. actually takes this to heart and works on their tax code. Because 35% for a corporation, I mean, that's a lot of money. 35%, you know, out of every dollar you
bring
make.
Bring it on and invest it in, you know, infrastructure and jobs here.
Yeah, or just waste it, you know, on
They did, and this is a whole nother
black
topic.
Let's military operations.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know, huge, like, wars, 10-year, wars in the Middle East.
Yeah, in Afghanistan and in Iraq and stuff. Yeah, exactly, so...
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a whole nother topic, and you know...
And people
anyway,
have already tuned out. Yeah. People have already been... There's probably like 5 guys left. Oh, hey, before we wrap up, I want to give a shout-out to Zachary Kohler, a.k.a. The Big Z, who asked us to talk about this on Twitter, I think it is. Yeah, and also a shout-out to Londonscapes, G. Lewis, who contacted me on Instagram and said... I'm thinking no dual camera and the jack plug stays.
Oh, kind of.
Okay,
taking
dude.
Taking magic mushrooms or something. I don't know.
He's clearly at the pub when he read this message. He had many ales imbibed. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us what you think about Apple's tax situation, we're on Twitter. I'm at Airfon Landers, L. Caney, Busters, BST3R. And, of course, make sure you connect with us on Twitter. We'll be talking about all the new stuff Apple releases on Wednesday. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys. Buster, give me you got an Irish accent.
Oh, next time, mate. Yeah.
Oh, arr.
He's a pirate. Irish pirate.
And we lost our Irish audience. There we go.
that
should
cool?
Ask for press passes, actually.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I know, because they usher you to the front of all the lines.
Yeah.
But I kept procrastinating, and then...
I'd just show them my Cult of Mac card and be like, yeah, that's right.
And then just try to walk in?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm not sure that'd work so well. It'd probably, you'd probably end up in either a half or a full Nelson. So probably a full Nelson.
Amy tells me Leander was sleeping.
Just right now?
Yeah, a little bit ago, and I just messaged her. I was like, is he awake? And she was just like, he is now.
He's like, I'm not really sure. He's been looking at the ceiling for 25 minutes with his Samuel L. Jackson hat pulled over his face.
Sorry.
I'm so busy. I don't know if I can do the show.
I was watching Chris Farley videos, and then I fell asleep, and I don't know what happened.
What time is it? Where am I?